Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
John chapter number 8, verse number 44, the Bible says this: "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Of course, the reference is to Satan today. The Bible says that he is a liar and the father of it. You can be seated this morning. I want to talk to you a little while this morning, and why the Lord has brought me to this topic today, I don't know. Matter of fact, me and him had a lot of conversations over the past few weeks as I began studying on this topic, why he would even have me to study on this topic. But I do believe with all of my heart I'm exactly where he wants me at today. And whenever I get done, I'll go home and I'll eat a little bit lunch knowing that I've obeyed the Lord this morning. Here's what I want to talk to you about for just a little while today: the deception of suicide. The deception of suicide. I believe if we was all honest with each other today, sitting here, we probably know someone that has been affected, if it's not us personally, that has been affected by this topic today. Whenever we look in society today, and as I began to read you a lot of statistics this morning, I believe that you will agree with me that this is a major epidemic in our society today. Matter of fact, as we look at it today, I'll show you biblically that it's not just a problem that has been faced in our day, but it's a problem that it's been faced ever since time began. I began studying on this, and I'm looking at this because the Lord told me to. And I've never preached a whole message on the subject of suicide, but the Lord wants me to, and I'm going to listen to Him today. Amen. I hope that you'll pray for me. I'm going to give you a lot of statistics today and give you a lot of things. And if you want my notes on this, I'll be glad to give you my notes on it. Everything as far as statistics today, I'll be able to back up if you want me to by different sources today. The majority of everything that I'll give to you comes from either CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, or from National Violent Death Reporting System and their occupational studies. Let me give you some things this morning. Occupations with the highest suicide rate. I found this very interesting. There's a lot of things that media is producing today that is not true. I don't know if you know that or not. There's a lot of things that media produces today that is not true. And after a very in-depth study on this, I found some of this shocking. Occupations with a high suicide rates, number one is construction and extrication workers. This includes construction laborers, roofers, electricians, miners, etc. One of the highest suicide rates of any industry, often linked to this: job instability, physical injury, substance abuse, and seasonal work. Number two, I found this interesting, it's agriculture, farming, fishing, and forestry. Farmers, ranchers, and fishing workers. Stress factors includes this: financial pressure, weather uncertainty, isolation, and long work hours. Number three was installation, maintenance, and repair workers. This includes mechanics, HVAC technicians, repair workers, etc. Contributing factors include physical strain and financial pressure. Number four, leading cause of suicide today in the United States is transportation and material moving. Truck drivers, delivery drivers, warehouse equipment operators. The stress factors that lead up to that was found to be long hours, isolation, and sleep disruption. Number five was healthcare workers, especially physicians and nurses. Some of the risk factors include emotional trauma, burnout, long shifts and access to medications. Number six was protective service occupations, such as police officers, firefighters, and correctional officers. Contributing factors to that was this: exposure to trauma, high stress, and shift work. Whenever we look at this, we can see that media has told us wrong on a lot of that. A lot of it, you'll find that the media says that one of the leading people in suicide today is those in law enforcement. They'll also say, whenever you study it out, one of the leading ones is pastors or those in ministry today. But in reading this and in doing study, I found that to be different. And I'll just give you who the top six are. Let me give you some more statistics to think about today. Teen suicide statistics in the United States of America. Suicide is the second leading cause of death for Americans ages 10 to 24. According to the National Youth Risk Behavior Survey, 10% of high school students reported attempting suicide in the past year. That means in a typical classroom of 25 students, two or three have already tried to take their own life. Just think about that. This, you say, preacher, why talk about a subject like this? Well, out of 25, if two or three have already tried to take their own life, I think it's time for somebody to say something about it. I think it's time that we quit worrying about what the world says and worrying about what the Baptist says and deal with topics that's at hand. Two or three out of 25. I continue reading, and here's what I found out. 3.3 million U.S. adolescents ages 12 to 17 had serious thoughts of suicide in the past year. 3.3 million, 12 to 17 in the U.S., in the last year had serious thoughts of suicide. Now, can I just say something to you? I personally believe that number is low. And the reason that I believe that it's low is because there's a lot that's not saying anything. That number is based off of teenagers and adolescents, 12 to 17, that has talked to someone and that has been reported and went in statistics. Think about that today. About 856,000 attempted suicide. This means that millions of teenagers in America are silently fighting a battle. That battle is for their life. Young adult suicide statistics in the U.S. Suicide is a leading cause of death for young adults. For ages 25 to 44, suicide is the second leading cause of death in the United States. Young adults ages 18 to 25 have the highest rate of suicide attempts. It should alarm us that the highest suicide attempt rate among adults is not among older adults, but among young adults between 18 to 25 years old. When they should be in the highlight of their life, enjoying life, that's when they're attempting suicide. I found this out. Middle-aged adults make up the largest portion of suicide. Adults ages 35 to 64 account for nearly 47% of all the suicides in the United States. Only 35 to 64 accounts for 47%. Suicide is a major national issue. In 2023, suicide was the 11th leading cause of death overall in the United States, but it ranks much higher among young adults. In 2024, 14.3 million adults seriously thought about suicide. Again, I think that rate is higher than that. And the reason that I say that is because that's the people that has talked about it and has been reported. There's a lot of people that deals with that thought in their mind that's never talked to anybody. Think about this. 4.6 million made a suicide plan. 2.2 million attempted suicide. Men account for about 80% of suicide deaths in the United States. This highlights how many adult men suffer silently without talking to anybody about their struggles. Many men are hurting deeply, but they suffer in silence because they believe that they have to carry the weight alone. They can't talk to nobody about it. All the responsibility is falling back on them. And statistics prove that men account for 80% of suicide deaths in the United States. These numbers tell us something important. We are facing a battle for people's minds and their hearts, and the enemy often wins that battle through deception. There's a long-term research that was done, and it shows that about 90 to 94% of people who survive a suicide attempt do not later die by suicide. This demonstrates that suicidal crises are often a temporary moment of intense despair. Often a temporary moment of intense despair. Can I say often a temporary moment? It's not something that is going to last forever. And in that moment, they make a foolish decision and they take their life. 90 to 94% statistics show that if they survive, they never attempt suicide again. Think about this. Here's some Bible examples of suicide. What about Saul? Whenever you study Saul's life out, when he was wounded in battle in 1 Samuel 31, verse number 4, with the Philistines and feared being abused by them, he fell on his own sword. Saul had been in a long downward spiral of disobedience, spiritual darkness, fear, and isolation before this moment. Matter of fact, if you go and read 1 Samuel chapter number 31 and verse number 5, you'll find that Saul's armor bearer, it said this about him, and when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. Sometimes despair becomes contagious. What about Ahithophel in 2 Samuel chapter 17? Ahithophel had betrayed David and sided with Absalom. His suicide followed pride, betrayal, and rejection of influence. Zimri in 1 Corinthians or 1 Kings chapter number 16. Zimri had ruled Israel for only 7 days before his kingdom collapsed. When he was defeated and saw that that was inevitable, he burned the palace down and himself with it. What about this one? This is probably the most well-known. A man by the name of Judas Iscariot in Matthew chapter number 27, verse number 5. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Every biblical suicide occurred during a moment of overwhelming despair, fear, guilt, or pride. The Bible also records people who wanted to die but didn't take their own life. What about Elijah in 1 Kings chapter number 19, verse number 4? It is enough now, O Lord, to take away my life. What about Jonah in chapter number 4, verse number 3 and verse number 8? It is better for me to die than to live. Whenever you study the life of Job out, you'll find the whole chapter of Job chapter number 3. Job is practically at a suicidal moment in his life. Suicide is not limited to one type of person. It affects people in every profession, every income level, and every background. You say, preacher, why did you read all of that in the beginning to show you that suicide is not limited to one age group? Suicide is not limited to one profession. Suicide is not just limited to our day. Suicide is something that has been dealt with for ages and ages and ages. I do believe this, that every issue that we have in life can be dealt with from the Bible. Can I say that again? I believe that every issue that we have in life can be dealt with from the Bible. Can I tell you something about suicide? Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, and this too shall come to pass. You know what it's saying? It's saying this. This trial will not last forever. This time of despair will not last forever. This time of despondency will not last forever. Thank God we have the Bible that we can turn to in times of despair, and God can help us with it. God can help us with it. Now, I want to clarify something before I say anything else and go any further. Suicide does not send you to hell. You can say amen or oh me. If you believe the Bible, you'll say amen. Suicide does not, Judas Iscariot did not die and go to hell because he hung himself. Judas Iscariot died and went to hell because he sold out the Lord Jesus Christ and rejected God. That's the reason he died and went to hell. If you're saved, then you've been saved by the grace of God. And according to the Bible, it is eternal security. It's eternal. You cannot take it. It's not mine to take away. It's his. And I'm kept by the Holy Ghost of God. I want to talk to you just a minute or two this morning about the deception of suicide. Number one, I want you to see this with me this morning. Number one, I want you to see the loneliness that people experience. The loneliness that people experience. You know, sometimes people's really good hypocrites. They're really good at acting like everything's all right when everything's falling apart. And especially when it comes to preachers. Especially when it comes to preachers. Why? Because, especially as a pastor. Why? Because the whole tempo of the service rests off of the way you do. And you know what? I could have got up this morning after they sung about Jesus coming and they sung about Jesus again in the special. Boy, I could have went to John chapter number 4. I could have said God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. I could have said, hey, God seeketh such to worship him. And I could have began to brag on God and magnify God. And you know what? In just 2 or 3 minutes, you'd have been shaking your head and you'd have been saying amen. I could have said, hey, sing another verse and people would have come to the altar. It rises and falls on the temperament of the preacher. And sometimes a pastor goes to the pulpit and his world is absolutely falling apart all around him. And he masks every bit of that. And everybody thinks he's got it all together and everything is wonderful in his life. People are real good at disguising at what they are truly dealing with. The loneliness that people experience. Listen to what the Bible said in Psalms 142, verse number 4. The psalmist said, refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. There's isolation from people. Pain convinces a person to withdraw. Ecclesiastes says, two are better than one. What happens in that moment of despair? What happens when a person gets to that place? It's the loneliness that that person is experiencing. It's isolation from people. What about this? Isolation from perspective. When something is overwhelming to us, a lot of times we lose the ability to see beyond the moment. So many times we lose the ability to see beyond the moment. You remember that about Elijah that I was just talking about in 1 Kings chapter number 19. But when you go on into 1 Kings chapter number 19, verse number 18, God said this to Elijah. He said, you're not alone. You're not the only one standing. You're not the only one going through this. He said, there's 7,000 others that's also speaking for the Lord. And I want to say something to you. When you get to that moment of despair in your life, there is that isolation from perspective. All you can see is right now. All you can see is right now. That's all you can see. How many times has that person ended their life, Brother John, because all they was looking at was right now? All they was looking. Life can change so fast. Thursday morning, it's like the weather. Wednesday, it was 80 degrees. Thursday, me and Victoria was coming through Marion, Virginia, and Interstate 77 was shut down, and we got off in Marion, Brother Nenny, and come out through somewhere and ended up in Galax. And, man, I'm telling you, it was like a blizzard. I couldn't believe all the snow. A lot of times in our life, we forget yesterday the sun was shining. We forget that, you know what, it's going to be cold a couple days this week, but if you'll look on in the forecast, you know what's going to happen in just a month or so? We're all going to be complaining because it's so hot. Isolation from the perspective, that loneliness, it isolates them from people. And when they are isolated from people, you know what happens? They get isolated from the perspective. It's not going to last forever. What about this isolation from God's truth? The enemy whispers loudest when you're alone. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8 says this, "The devil walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Loneliness is one of Satan's most powerful tools. Number one, the loneliness that people experience. Number two, the lies that Satan tells. Satan tells, matter of fact, that's all he knows how to talk about, is lies. God doeth only wondrous works, but the Bible says that Satan is a liar and the father of it. Listen to what the Bible said in John chapter number 8, verse number 44 again. "He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 says this, "Casting down imaginations and every high thought that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God." And you know what Satan done? If we go all the way back, when Satan was cast out of heaven, let me tell you the reason. He tried his best to exalt himself above Christ. That's what he done. He wanted to be higher than God. He wanted to be the grand potentate. And God said, "No, you're not going to be that. I'm that." So God created hell for the devil and his angels and cast them off into hell. And ever since then, Satan's had one thing on his agenda, taking everybody he can with him to there. And it don't matter the lie that he has to tell to get them there. The enemy works through deception in the mind. We talk a lot today. There is so much. There is so much about mental health today. And I just want to say something to you. I want you to listen to me. I understand that there is a battle of the mind today. Are you hearing me? I understand that. I understand. Matter of fact, me and a buddy of mine yesterday had a talk about this. I understand that there is times when medications have to be given to help people to get through things in their life. I am not, you can say amen or oh me, it's 2026, you might as well say amen. I understand that. But I do think there is a very fine line of over-medicating someone and causing them never to trust the Bible. They run to a bottle more than they run to their Bible. And I'm not, listen to me, I completely understand. I've been there. I understand that. I knowed what it was like for a little while to have to take something to even be able to lay my head down and go to sleep at night. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you something. That Bible right there will do more for you than any doctor will ever do and any medication will ever do. I'm not saying throw your pills. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying this. We've got to get back to a biblical viewpoint of things. There's the lie that Satan tells. Let me just give you some of it. There's the lie of worthlessness. Satan says your life doesn't matter. Nobody cares about you. Nobody will miss you. Nobody will notice. There's the lie that Satan throws to us that your life doesn't matter. But here's what God responds by. Psalms 139:14. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Satan may say you're worthless. God says, no, I made you in my own image, and you're fearfully and wonderfully made. I made you for me. The lie of worthlessness, he gives the lie of hopelessness. Satan says, things will never get better. Boy, have you ever heard that before? It's never going to get better. It's never going to get better. And, Brother John, I'm sure going through all the health issues not long ago, you've thought in the back of your mind, man, will it ever get better? I'm telling you, Satan will creep up on your shoulder this morning, church. And he'll sit down on your shoulder, and he'll get in your ear. He'll crawl all the way into your mind, and he'll say, things will never get better. Well, let's just see what God says. God says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You know what he's saying? He's saying this, I know where you're at, and I want to help you through this. He's simply saying this, there is hope. There is hope. The lie of worthlessness, the lie of hopelessness. What about this one? There's the lie of a burden. Satan says everyone would be better off without you. If you just wasn't here, Satan would, or Satan says everybody would be better off. What about what God says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 18? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. You know what he's simply saying? He's saying this, I made you and I created you and I've got you here for a purpose. I read this. Think about your own body for a moment. Most of us never wake up in the morning and thank God for our little toe. Say amen. Most of us never wake up in the morning and thank God for our little toe. It's small. It's hidden in a shoe most of the day. And it doesn't seem very important. But let me ask you something. Have you ever stumped that little toe in the middle of the night? Suddenly, that tiny part of the body that you never thought about becomes very important in your life. Your whole body reacts. Your eyes water. Your hands grab your foot. Your entire body stops moving. Why? Because even the smallest part matters. The body was designed so that every member has a purpose. That's exactly what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. God has placed every member in the body just the way he wanted them. So when the devil whispers, you are a burden, you don't matter, people would be better off without you, that's a lie of Satan, because in God's body there are no unnecessary members. The body needs every part. God placed you in the body, then you are not a burden. You're a part of the body that God himself put there. Number one, there's the loneliness that people experience. Number two, there's the lies that Satan tells. But number three, there's the loss that it leaves. There is the loss that it leaves. David and 2 Samuel chapter number 18, verse number 33, is mourning the loss of his son. He said, oh, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Don't you listen to the statement I'm fixing to make. Suicide never ends pain. It just simply transfers the pain to someone else. Suicide never ends pain. It simply transfers it to someone else. And 99% of the time, it transfers it in a greater weight than what you was going through. How many times over the past 25 years have I stood with families during moments like this? How many times have I had to walk up to a door and knock on a door and tell a family member that their loved one had committed suicide, to see that family member collapse. The pain does not leave. It's just simply transferred to someone else, the loss that it leaves, well, there's the loss to family, parents, spouses, and children carry wounds for years. There's the loss to friends and community. Lives connected to that person are forever impacted. But think about this more than any. There's the loss of God's future's plans for your life. There is the loss of God's future plans for your life. That's more important than any of them. No, you shouldn't want to hurt your community. You shouldn't want to hurt your family. Let me tell you something. If you're saved by the grace of God, and you commit suicide, you leave out of here prematurely for what God wanted for you in your life, there's a lot of things that God could have done with your life that's now gone. You prematurely lost those things that you could have had. Listen to what the Bible said in Ephesians chapter number 2. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. And I promise you, if you'll stay close to God, if you're saved by the grace of God, if you'll stay close to Him, He will bring you on the other side of this, and He will use that some way in your life, somehow in your life, to help someone else down the road. What about Elijah? I know I've mentioned him. Let me mention him again. When Elijah wanted to die, God still had kings to anoint. A prophet by the name of Elisha that had to be mentored. And a ministry still unfolding. And a ministry still unfolding. God's not done with your life. If God was done with you, God would have already taken you home. Suicide promises relief, but delivers ruin. It whispers lies, it produces loneliness, and it leaves behind unimaginable loss. If you're here this morning and you know somebody that's battling that, or maybe you've even battled those thoughts in your mind yourself. In closing, can I just show you what the Bible says that we need to do? Miss Tanya, will you come start playing softly? I would say this first. You need to take your pain to God. You need to take your pain to God. What did He say in Psalms 34? He said, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. You don't have to hide your pain from God. Elijah didn't. David didn't. Job didn't. Cry out to the Lord. He is near to the brokenhearted. Well, aren't you glad that we don't have to hide it from Him? Aren't you glad that we can take it to Him and He's there? He's not going to put us on hold. The line's not going to be busy. He's there. First, take your pain to God. Second, listen to me this morning. Talk to somebody. It's just practical things. You need to talk to somebody about it. The Bible said this again in Ecclesiastes, two are better than one. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. The enemy wants you isolated. Are you listening to it? The enemy wants you isolated. Why? Because if you're isolated, he can control what you're doing. The enemy wants you isolated, but God designed us. To carry one another's burdens. But preach, I'll be a burden to somebody. You won't be a burden to nobody. But preacher, what will they think? Well, can I just say something? I don't know what anybody else will think. And I don't know if anybody else will be burdened. But I know one that won't be burdened, and that's me. And I promise you, you can come to me and talk to me about it. And I'm probably not going to have all the answers that I need to have. But what we can do together is take that pain to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, reject the lies. They're not true. Reject the lies. Reject the lies. 2 Corinthians 10 says, cast down imaginations. When the enemy says, your life doesn't remember what God said. He placed you in the body as it pleased Him. Your life has a purpose. Your life has a purpose. Fourth, remember that your story is not finished. Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 6. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Your work's not done. God's not, you're not washed up. You said, preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the sin that has brought me. And boy, I'm telling you, honestly, if we'll go back and study a lot of things, I'm telling you, sin is what brings isolation and brings a lot of people to this moment in their life. Matter of fact, every biblical character that I just gave you, you can trace it back to sin in their life that brought them to that moment. I want to say this to you. Remember that your story's not finished. You may have messed up. It may have a bad effect on others. But I promise you, if you're alive today, God's got you here for a reason. He's got you here for a purpose. It don't matter what the past is. It don't matter what the present is right now. What matters is what you're going to do at this moment moving forward. There's hope in Christ. There's help in God's people. And there's a future that God's still writing. Did you hear what I just said about that? There's a future that God's still writing. Because you're here. Because you're here. In other words, He's not done. He has something for you. I wrote this down last night. The same Savior who conquered the grave is still able to bring life out of the darkest moment of our lives if we'll just let Him. The same Savior that conquered the grave. The same Savior, we're fixing to celebrate Easter. The same one that arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. The same one that cast out the demons of the demonic maniac. The same one that raised Lazarus from the grave. The same one that parted the Red Seas. The same one that brought water out of a rock. The same one that allowed bitter waters in Marah to be turned into sweet waters when a tree was thrown in it. Is the same God that in the bitter times of your life, if you will allow the tree of Calvary to get into your life, can make sweet things out of bitter things. Don't believe the lie of Satan. The deception of suicide. You say, preacher, why in the world would you take a Sunday morning and preach on that? Well, number one, because God said to. But number two, you'll find in studying also that a large majority of people that commit suicide never talk about it. They just do it. I know we're sitting here this morning, and I know we got a church full of people, and God's good to us. And it really looks like on the outward appearance that every one of us has really got it all together. But we never know what somebody's sitting underneath the sound of my voice this morning. Maybe battling deep down inside. And I want you to know something. Jesus loves you. And Jesus cares about you. And Jesus wants to help you. If He didn't, He'd have already taken you out of here. Don't believe the lie that you're not a burden. You're a blessing. Don't believe the lie that nobody will notice. I promise you they will. People will be hurt. But you don't have to end it that way. You can come this morning. You say, what's everybody going to say? It don't matter what everybody says. You can come this morning and you can bow on an altar And you can get help from a holy God today. Because I promise you, He cares. He cares. The psalmist said, nobody cared for my soul. Oh, they somebody that cares. And His name is Jesus.